If you're an average player, you want to be left alone, right? Because you want to be able to slide by. If you're a good player, you want to be coached. If you're a great player, you want the coach to tell you the truth every day. Did I hustle on that play? Did I make the right read? Did I play the guy with the right leverage? You want to know every play. Because you know why? They want to be perfect. Everybody here makes a choice to do one of those three things.
Welcome to the GOAT Consulting Podcast, a podcast dedicated to people striving to be a GOAT, the greatest of all time, serving it up in a way that you can get it in all stages of life.
Hey, I'm Colby Jubenville, and this is the GOAT Consulting Podcast right here in Pod Studio 1 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And always around the table with me is Tyler Burnett, the CEO, founder, president of the GOAT family of brands.
The GOAT Empire.
The GOAT Empire.
We'll figure that out later.
The dark
Maybe that's
side.
For another podcast.
Oh, Darth Vader, the
that's
Empire.
Some foreshadowing.
A little foreshadowing there. And then to the left, the guy that always shows up from Williamson County with a t-shirt that says, Love is not canceled in the year 2020.
It's not canceled.
When
it's
we
not.
Find a vaccine, are you taking that off?
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it still.
Mr. John Byers. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We've got a great episode for you. The episode today is going to focus on bets. Mm. And the bets that we make every day, and the bets that we make in relationships that we have.
Oh, it's not like I'm struggling with betting problems.
You know, we got a phone number for that.
Okay.
And I also have an app where I've got about $600 on my horse racing app.
Nice.
Since football is now back, I don't use that as much anymore. But it's a different kind of bet. It's the bets that we make every day. But before we go into the topic for today's show, and we're glad you're with us today. We always like to set the stage with this big bottle in front of us, the syrup, the magic sauce.
Ooh, I like it.
Sauce.
That makes us who we are, which is Waffle House and this idea that we're like Waffle House in the sense that we serve it up in a way that people can get it. For me, serving it up in the way, let me get that cleared out, and the way that you can get it is this idea of just making things simple, the complex simple. I think that's one of the ways I serve it up. Another way that I like to serve it up with people is telling emotionally compelling stories. Mm. Emotionally compelling stories. That's part of who we are. Serve it up today. What do you plan to serve up today?
Yeah, I got a story about Professor Ellis.
Oh, back in we would bring him back.
You did mention that.
Are you going to send? Will you have the courage to send this to him once this is done?
Well, if he's still alive, he will definitely want to hear this story.
Oh, he's still alive.
He's definitely
college professors
hear about
low stress level.
Yeah,
they'll go forever. And I know that Tyler's just going to serve it up like he does every day, just punch you right in the mouth. We are doing this today.
Wow.
And this is what it's going to be.
Aggressive.
He's 30. He's ready to go.
That's what they're supposed
to do. What time did you wake up this morning?
5:17.
How'd you be?
It's a little late.
4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I was going to text both of y'all and say, bring your A game today. But I know you always are because you're goats. And goat is a simple idea. You helped me understand it in a way that it relates to business. When I first thought about it, I thought about it in sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in sports, the GOAT is someone that makes everybody else around them better. They get recognized for their performance. John McEnroe. You got it. That goes way. Tyler doesn't even know who that person is.
Listen, we had this talk first episode, right? Like, if you say a GOAT and nobody else in the room knows who it is,
they're not
are
a
they
goat.
Really
Carl,
a GOAT?
Carl, do you know who? Okay, he knows. Yeah. Do you know, John?
I don't.
Oh, man. He's the greatest tennis player of all time.
Oh, that's why.
Oh. Better than Billie Jean.
Most angry.
Most angry. Yes. Better than anybody. He's the GOAT. I'll send you a couple clips of him throwing his racket at fans, beating a official with his racket. He's recognized for his performance.
We just had a tennis incident this last weekend.
we did.
Joe Back hit the we guy
did.
In the neck.
We did. I'm going to bring y'all just an obscure, nebulous GOAT to help you just put that into your repertoire and use it every time.
Got it.
In business, the GOAT is someone that competes on perspective, education, and experience, right? Unique mm-hmm. perspective, education, and experience. And each one of us that sit around this table, the reason that we did this is that, number one, the conversations that I had with each of you made me always stop and pause and say, not only do you have something to say, but you have something to say in a way that people listen. Straight out of A Star Is Born and the conversation between Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Legends. I want to hear this story from John. I mean,
about
he teased me about
Professor.
Yes, I mean,
let's just
what's
go
the
right
scoop
to
on
it?
Professor here?
Well, yeah. I'll go off script. I can. I'm easy to go off script. Go for it.
I don't think I got the script. I think we're
here. It's right here.
As is life. I think we're all going off script. You know the best
three words. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. Have at it, buddy.
You know the best moments in life when we go off script?
The best moments in life are free. I think that was a song.
It was. Can I just say something real quick about Serve It Up and a way people can get it?
You
I was
can.
Thinking
you
about
can
this.
You can say anything you want anytime.
Oh, that's dangerous. You know, Tyler mentioned something earlier that made me just think, like, we're going to serve it up in a way people can get it, but not in like a weird way, like where we know everything and we're imparting our wisdom and all of my 38 years and... Right. 31 years and
the more I know, the less I understand.
Right? Yeah. We're just, that's not what this is. Like, we're in this together. Yeah. Life is messy. We're learning as we go. Let's just share stories and how we've all messed it up and what we've learned through it, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I got to do a side note here. I'll call John in one of these difficult moments of my life. It's probably been about 20 since I've known you. And I want John to say something, right? To solve the problem for me. Yeah. And all he'll say is something like, I'm sorry. That's got to feel really bad.
Love's not canceled here,
Colby. No.
Not canceled.
And I get off and I do feel better, but I do need a little more. I want to say that publicly from you to you. So okay. Give me a little bit more, but go ahead.
Well, can I start with this Professor Ellis story? I feel like we built it up so much. I'm not sure the
I just want you to send it to him.
Quite going to be there.
It's going to be there.
So the topic is betting on ourselves. Are you a safe bet?
Yeah.
And I think I'm immediately taken back to 2003, Marketing 4000, University of Georgia, Professor Ellis. And I remember him saying this line, like a drawing a line in the sand type of moment for me, a defining moment where he says, if you get a $50,000 job offer after graduating, you need to take it. And I thought, I don't buy that.
Yeah, you don't subscribe to that.
I don't buy it. And I thought, you know, and ironically at the time, I had two offers or ideas, I should say, on the table when I was going to graduate. One was a $50,000 fully expense, you know.
Male dancer.
I mean, I had already worked up to that moment.
Near Atlanta.
Could be again soon.
I'm hoping so.
You know, and I had this offer on the table, and I had another idea where I was going to start my own shop, both on the insurance side. I know it's sexy, insurance. I always wanted to be an insurance guy when I grew up.
Yes.
And I didn't do what Professor Ellis said because I thought, you know, I don't buy that. I'm going to double down on myself. I didn't have anybody paying me a salary. I didn't have any clock I was punching every day. I was a bet on myself. And I'm not sure if I was safe or not, but I knew I could outperform.
Yeah, there's two things that I want to say to respond to that. First, I just realized that I could have been your college professor. I was teaching in 2003. I want you to remember that.
That would have been special.
And then the second is, I think we make four bets every day. And you're a great example of this. Both of you are. We make four bets every day. We bet our time, our money, our resources, and our energy on ourselves. And what I think you said to yourself was, I believe that I can overcome those things to get what I want. I've got the time, I've got the energy, I've got the resources, I've got the money, the financial means to figure this out on my own.
Yep.
And take it to the next step. And I think those people that are listening today have to ask themselves, what is it that you're making bets against every day? And the bottom line is you're making bets against yourself.
Mm-hmm. Tyler's got a great story.
You're the king of betting against yourself. You got a brand behind you, on your sleeve, on your head, on John's head.
Don't know where yours is at, but we'll talk about that later.
I don't look good in hats, but I
think we could put a logo on the sleeve.
JR, if you're listening, I want that Holloway or Holloman or
yeah, Holloway pullover. So, I know what you want. You always say I look so good in a pullover.
So you're doing.
Does he not? Have you heard that line?
Yeah,
that's that's Corey's line.
So you're doing that for me.
Yes.
Awesome.
I've got to get one for John too.
You do.
I look good in a pullover.
John does. John's a triathlete. I'm just an athlete.
Well, I guess the biggest bet that I've taken on myself is I was working for a car manufacturer in North America.
Global.
But the plant was here in North America. Matter of fact, it's the fourth largest building in the world.
You see how he really narrowed it down where it's at, just well, I mean, to be obscure. It's in North America.
Yeah.
He really narrowed it down, didn't he?
I'm guessing. I don't think that part matters.
I'm guessing Lincoln, Nebraska.
I mean, we could go to Canada, too, right? I mean, it's still North America.
It's Canada.
We're not talking
professor,
about
come professor. On.
Made a C in geography. Excuse me. Let's reshoot that.
Let's room it back in.
Producer to row four. Thank
cut,
you.
Cut.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest bet was, you know, I did what we were told to do in the 20s, right? I got in the game, and I was in the game and kind of realized that I didn't love the game that I was in. And, you know, one day I got on a project to cut cost, and we hit target and got over target. And I remember sitting down in a performance appraisal. And
do you remember how much cost you cut?
It was, well, the target was like $4.7 million, and we cut 5.5 or something like that. So it was like 800,000 over.
Great bonus from that, right?
Well, that was the moment.
Hold on, set the stage for me. How old are you?
I'm 31 now.
At the time.
27.
So 27. How long have you been working there?
5 years. So I may have been 28.
5 years of your life. What was your relationship with the guy that called you in to do the appraisal?
Well, he was my direct boss. You know, that's who you sat down with.
Did you have a good relationship with him?
Oh, yeah, we had a great relationship. You know, my dad had been there for years, and so I had known all the people before I was there. So
you walk into this appraisal thinking, hey, I've done it. I've outperformed.
And obviously, in a corporate world, you got a range of raises that you can get.
Yeah.
You know, they can't just do something crazy.
I wouldn't know because I've never worked in the corporate world, but yes.
But they, you know, it kind of went over it and kind of, you know, then they kind of slide a piece of paper to you and like, you know, kind of one of those deals. You know, take a look here.
Yeah.
And I remember the raise being 3%. And just staring at it, the paper.
3% of the $5 million savings, right?
Yeah, I wish.
That's
your model.
That'd make a little more sense.
Yeah, so it was 3% of the salary, and I just remember kind of like almost baffled. Mm. And that's when I knew, you know, I got to do something different. I want to get paid for my value and not my time. Mm. And I got to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I got married on March 30th. We're walking the beach, and after getting married and relaxing for the weekend, and I told Sarah, I said, I'm quitting. She says, wow. I said, hey, you know, kind of what we talk about with business, do you believe in me? Yeah. Yes. Okay, now's the time.
That's one of the things that you ask your employees.
Absolutely.
Do they? And I think that's something that's rare. You know, do you believe in me? Do you believe in this company? Do you believe in the vision and where we're going?
And that's what we talk about when I interview a person or whatnot. And I don't just send out hey, we're hiring.
Right.
We usually find somebody we think's got some talent, and that's one of the questions we say. Do you believe in me?
Yeah. Usually,
do you believe in the company?
Usually comes from this place in North America, right? This global manufacturing.
Yeah, that's a recruiting pool for us.
In North America, including Canada.
27 years old, newly married.
It's an amazing story.
Goes in the next day, quits a safe job because you were doubling down on yourself.
Yeah. I think that's what it's all about.
Betting your time. I'm spending my time here, and after saving them and my energy and my resources.
My unique perspective.
Education and experiences.
And education.
And the most they're going to give me is 3%.
Yep.
And so it's time to walk away.
Don't miss, Colby. I mean, you talk about this all the time, but one of the things Tyler mentioned is I decided at that moment that I wanted to be paid for my value, not my time.
Yeah.
Because that was a great example of that. And you talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, what I had this moment too, and the moment for me was, is you know the saying, we talked about it before, but the old saying about college professors is, and I think teaching's a noble profession, right?
Sure.
I think that you have the chance to impact lots of other people. And part of my story is that I came from two educators that taught me that the way you take on the world is to become an educator and marry an educator and educate other people. And that works until you want things like lifestyle and freedom. Mm. And then you got to figure it out. And so the saying about professors, and I think it's largely true, is that those who can do and those who can't teach, and y'all know the joke about Woody Allen, if you – can't teach you teach PE. But I woke up one day and I said to myself, but if you can do and teach, you get paid for your value and not your time. Mm-hmm. And what I think the folks that are sitting around this room are a great example. And to me, that is the greatest part of serving it up in a way that people can get it, doing and teaching, is that you have the gift to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful moment.
Can we talk about, too, I mean, I know we all have stories around this, but, you know, oftentimes, well, maybe not, hopefully not oftentimes, but there's certainly been moments in our lives where we haven't bet on ourselves and we have rested on that safe bet.
I mean, right? Tyler just said I built my whole career on that, so we'll have to have a conversation later about that.
So, but why? Why do we do that?
I think if I got it to one word.
Go back to his parents.
I mean, that's kind of what your parents told you, right?
Scripting.
Like, it's a safe bet.
They modeled
an educator. You marry an educator and you educate. I mean, that's safe.
I think it goes back to perspective.
Absolutely.
And then it goes straight to experience.
They modeled that behavior for me. And my parents, by every stretch of the imagination, are wildly successful in terms of the careers they built, in terms of the financial nest egg that they've created for themselves, in terms of their children going on and having success. So I think it's certainly part of the scripting that makes us, it goes back to that idea that we talked about in episode one, the pre-launch or the soft launch, where it's the experience shapes the stories that creates the identity that drives the behavior that creates the outcome.
So I agree with that. And there's also fear, right? I mean, I know
absolutely.
Despite growing up for me and wearing the no fear shirts, which Tyler probably never experienced.
Did you really?
I loved them. I'm probably the only one.
Do you?
They don't exist
anymore.
Where
that next time?
But can we just identify
no fear and love is not canceled. You've come a long way.
I've come a long way.
In a
you
short
know what?
Period of time.
Because I don't believe there's a thing as no fear.
I agree.
Right? Like my grandpa would always say.
I had some about 20 minutes ago.
Seconds. No fear doesn't exist, like, right? And one of my favorite thoughts is the only reason we can have courage is because fear exists.
Sure.
Courage wouldn't exist if fear didn't first.
And you couldn't bet on yourself if fear didn't exist.
That's exactly right. But that's what holds us back, right? I mean, the fear of not succeeding. And, you know, one of my goats is Max, my 10-year-old son.
No doubt.
I often wonder who's parenting who here, but about a year and a half ago, this was the night before the state archery tournament, and Max comes to me and he says, "Dad, I'm scared that I'm not good enough, that I need more practice, but I will try my best and I won't give up." I mean, if that's not the most raw, vulnerable, true statement, and we all feel it every day as we go in to build our lives and we do things, we want to have that kind of vulnerability, acknowledging our fear, and yet the courage to push on.
Yeah, you had it in Professor Ellis's class.
Yeah.
You said to yourself, you did.
Yeah.
I mean, that little John is still inside you somewhere. You're sitting there, and that little John goes, "Hell no, I'm not doing
yeah,
that."
Yeah, he's 10. He's 10, and he lives with me now. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Why didn't we name him John?
I don't know.
Vanessa doesn't like the name John, by the way.
Really?
That's hurtful.
Yeah, it is. It hurts.
Do you
me
want
deep.
To unpack that after?
It hurts me deep.
We'll do a scenes episode. Behind the scenes. Can we do that?
We need to.
You know,
she, by the way, I asked her what her goat was this morning before coming here. She said the first thing she came to mind was Julie Andrews.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not.
So how's Julie? And she goes, you know, they're not going to make musicals really anymore.
Yeah.
She's the goat. She's the goat of musicals.
She is.
She's Mary. Tyler doesn't know who she is.
No.
Mary Poppins.
She's running across
Mary
the mountains.
Poppins, The Sound of Music.
Absolutely. I was forced to watch those as a kid because we only had three channels, 3, 5, and 10 back in the day. You know, you talk about that fear concept.
Max won first place, by the way.
Did he really?
The next day, he took first place, yeah.
What was the first thing he said to you once he got done with that, with winning that?
I'm not sure he could have said anything with the size of the smile
that was
on
it.
His face.
Yeah.
It's a great story
of battling through fear and having courage and betting on yourself and making it happen.
Yeah, four bets that we make every day: time, energy, money, resources. I think back on my life and I think about the moments that were fearful, and there's several Some I can talk about, some not.
Yeah.
One of those is when you graduate from college and everything that you own is in the back of an 1986 Isuzu Trooper 2. And
number two, not one or
dude,
three.
The one is not nearly as good as number the two. This thing was blue and gold. It had desert dueler tires.
God, this story keeps getting better.
I washed this thing every day of my life, hoping one day my dad would give it. But I want you to think about this, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this podcast today have probably been here. Is I was graduating, had a degree in history. I did everything that they told us to do, right? If you go to college, you'll get a job.
Yep.
Everything's going to work out.
You better take it.
You better 50, take it. 000. Professor Ellis, you better take it. And so I'm sitting there, and I have to leave. And for the first time in my life, I don't have something prescribed for me for the next 6 months. Every other stage of my life, football season, you got to work out before that. Mm-hmm. Basketball season, you got to go to training. Summer school, you got to go to summer school because you failed.
Yeah.
10th grade.
Didn't have to do that.
I did.
I'm just saying I did.
Just to be clear, he was talking about himself.
I want to walk you down to St. Paul's School in Mobile, Alabama at some point. I want you to spend time in the womb of greatness with me.
What about the GOAT podcast on location there?
Oh, God. We're going to do it.
I'm in.
We're going to do it. And we'll go to the Skillet, which is where I practiced football, and it was on ESPN. When St. Paul's played 2 weeks ago, and they said upwards of 103 or 104 degrees, I used to cut that field back to my lawn mowing days.
Golly.
I used to cut that grass. Wow. It was on ESPN. I've come a long way in life. Thank you, ESPN. Dun-dun-dun. 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 So I'm sitting there, and the only thing you can do in that moment, when you have everything that you own, the back of a Isuzu Trooper 2, and you don't know what you're going to do, the only thing you can do is call your mother. Collect. Because I didn't have any money.
Collect. That's a key part of the story.
It is. Tyler, do you know what calling collect on a payphone is?
I'm just old enough to understand.
Okay.
What's a payphone?
Not from a prison. Payphone. All right. And so I call and my dad answers and he takes the call. And he said, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Hey, I've graduated from college, and you know, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. Can you tell me what I'm supposed to do next?" And he started laughing. And he says, "That's a really good question, son. Hold on a second. Let me get your mother on the phone." And I'm like, "Oh man," because I mean, my mom back in those days, man, she was a principal. She didn't play around. She,
not to pass it off, but the two of them were going to be
together.
On
yeah.
This
so she gets
big news.
Yes.
Big,
yeah. Yeah. So she gets on the phone. And she's like, "Hey, Colby," and being a cheerleader. And I said, "Mom, I don't need that right now. I got to figure this out." And he said, "Well," he said, "you got that degree, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You got it with you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, go get it and read it to me." So I'm thinking, why? But me being my father's son, and being 22, at the time, 21 maybe, I go and get it, and I read it to him. Colby Juvenville, BA History. I read all the people's names that were on it. And he said, "Man, that sounds really good. And we know you're going to be successful. But quite frankly, we don't care what you do. Just don't come home." And hung up the phone.
Wow.
And so in that moment.
Sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and John and I have had this conversation. I don't think I have the courage to do that to Jack.
Really?
No. I want to. I hope that I can. But I don't know if I will. I've already crumbled before.
Mm. We'll talk offset. I'll get through this.
I need it. I need the coaching. And so I had a half a tank of gas. I drove down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I came in on fumes, and I walked the double doors. And I met a lady named Sandy Gangstead, and I said, "My name's Colby Juvenville, and this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm supposed to coach and teach on an ever-increasing stage." And so she flipped through the papers, and she said, "Juvenville, I remember your name. You went to Millsaps. That's a great school." And so she said, "Yeah, we've got a scholarship for you right here." And in those days and times, and this is going to be hard for people to believe in this day and time, but they had mailed it to the wrong P.O. box, and I never got it. And we didn't have email. So there's a couple of takeaways that I think make this pretty powerful. Number one, the only way you can articulate your value is through face-to-face interaction. And number two, you got to wake up every day and be making bets. Bets on yourself. So I went back across the street to another gas station, called my dad, Collect, and I said, hey, because I made it now. I said, I want you to know, I got it done. I got a full scholarship to Southern Miss. And he said, you see, son, I knew you'd be successful. Now go do it. And hung up the phone.
Wow, that's great.
We make bets every day. We bet our time, our money, our energy, our resources. John, what's the best way to serve it up for people today for you?
I got to go back to Max.
Yeah.
He told me, he said, I'm scared that I'm not good enough. I need more practice. But the action item here is that I will try my best. I won't give up. I'm going to take courage. I'm going to choose courage over fear.
Yeah. Who's parenting who, right?
That's it.
Tyler?
Yeah, I think it's understanding that the fear is going to be there.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things you can do to overcome that is write down some goals and really understand where you want to be and how you're going to overcome those fears and then just go do it.
Well, you know, to me, the most is about the doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is saying, this is what I want, and then go.
Set your mind to it and go.
Go get it and do it. That's another great episode in the books. Today's topic, we're focused on making bets and how we make bets every day. We're going to be back for episode 3 right around the corner. My name's Colby Jubenville, and for Tyler and John and Pod Studio One, this is the GOAT Consulting Podcast, serving it up in a way that you can get it.